Good morning, church. Greeting in the name of Jesus. So first of all, I want to say we are so honored to be with all of you this morning. And one of the things I miss is to be with people in person. You know, after this so many time of lockdown, just want to say we are so looking forward to be here with all of you. And of course, for those that are watching at another hall, the overflow room, welcome. I hope to catch up with you during the morning tea. And even those watching on Facebook, you're not forgotten. And I just want to say that you are part of us, part of the service, and we have something for you to online to be involved. So I just want to say thank you, Pastor Martin, and the leadership here to have compassion here with all of you. And today is Compassion Sunday, so it's exciting. Just a bit of my background. I have been in full-time ministry for the last 12 years. So I born in Malaysia and I started ministry as a pastor and a missionary in Malaysia. And I've been in full-time doing the work in Asia a lot. And I got called me to Bible college actually in New Zealand. So I was in New Zealand for about 3 years. And the last 5 years I've been here based in Melbourne. And I've been involved with the church plant here. And also the last 3 years have been involved with Compassion. So that's a bit about me. And actually Martin and I, we first met at the CVET Pastor Gathering. So that's where the CVET Brethren Churches are, you know, just celebrating what the churches have done in the nation with the children that been sponsored. That's a bit about how we came about this partnership. How about before we go into the Word of God, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, despite of the technical difficulty, we know that God, you are here with us and you are speaking to us even today. Lord, we open our hearts to hear from your word. Lord, I thank you that for this church, Grace West Bible Church, thank you for everyone that's here in this room, everyone that's watching online. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, that the Bible will become so real, that Jesus will not just be a concept or a theory, but Jesus is the living God that speaks to us today. And I pray as we read from your word, as we hear your word, that we will be the hearer and the doer of the word of God today. And I thank you for what you are doing, for what you're going to do in us and through us today. I pray to open our hearts to receive the word of God today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Everyone say amen, amen. You know, before I want to talk about compassion with you, and I want to share with you God's heart for the poor. Or in other words, Jesus' heart for the poor. You know, the song we just sang before I came up is Knowing Jesus. I think that's really something that I want all of us to understand, that today we're going to hear about the heart of Jesus. Not only that, but to actually know about Jesus' mission here on earth. Actually, compassion is not my mission, it's not anyone's mission, it's His mission. Amen? And today, I want you to, as we read from the Word of God and look at the Word of God, let's really understand His mission for us as Christian. Amen? So if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. I'm really impressed with this church that all of you have a physical Bible. I preach a lot in many churches, but I love always to carry my physical Bible everywhere. I just want to say, well done. I saw so many physical Bible here, which is amazing. There must be a great work with what Pastor Martin and the leadership has done here. All right, let's look at the Gospel of Luke 4:18. So today, surprisingly or not surprisingly, all the words that we're going to read is from the mouth of Jesus. So what a better way to know a person than to know what he said, right? So in the Gospel of Luke, verse 18 onwards, let me read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just give you a bit of context of this scripture, that Jesus just came out of the 40 days and 40 nights from the wilderness. He went into a synagogue. He opened the book of Isaiah 61. And he read, actually these words actually is from Isaiah 61. And Jesus began to read this word, what we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he, what, after verse 19, let me read from you, verse 20. He closed the book, which is the Bible. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of him who were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And Jesus began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy from Isaiah 61. And I believe this scripture will be fulfilled in your hearing today. Amen. Because I call this scripture, this verse 18 and 19, is Jesus' mission statement. What is a mission statement? Some of you here run a company, you run a church, you know what is a mission statement. A mission statement is why we exist, why the company exists, why the church exists. Why did Jesus came to this earth? And Jesus gave his mission. It's almost like he gave the purpose that he was sent from heaven. Is to bring, look at the scripture, is to bring good news to the poor. So go back a bit, that the scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord upon me, because he has anointed me, Jesus said, to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, whether it's spiritually blind or physically blind. Jesus bring sight to the blind. And what the next one? To set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim this is the year, acceptable year of the Lord. Let me tell you, the next 3.5 years, Jesus fulfilled every word that he said in these words. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He healed the blind. He set the oppressed free. Amen? And not only that, he bring good news to people. Amen? And this is Jesus' mission statement on this earth. The reason I want to share with you Jesus' mission is that, do you know that this mission now is our mission? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? Is it because we go to church or we carry a cross? Or is it because we carry the Bible everywhere we go? The word Christian first appeared in Antioch, in the book of Acts. The reason why they were called Christian, because they looked like Jesus. They sound like Jesus. They behave like Jesus. And the people begin to say, who are these special people? And they call them Christian. So I want to suggest to you to really, to be a Christian, ultimately, actually, is to be like Jesus. Why we pray? So that we will be like Jesus. Why we read the scripture? Because the scripture conform us, help us to be like Jesus. Amen? So the reason why I want to share with you this is that some of us didn't realize that being a Christian is to actually be like him. Like what we sang in the song just then, to sound like him, to be like him. You know, even in Psalm 17, Peter was reading to us that the last scripture, the last verse on the Psalm 17, he said, when I be awake, I'm satisfied because I'm awake in your likeness. Amen? So when we awake every day, are we being like Jesus? Amen? Amen. So we are satisfied because we are like Jesus. Amen. And go with me to the second scripture that in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. You see, Matthew 28 is what Jesus said at the end of his ministry. So what we just read then, Luke 4, 18, is what he said in the beginning of his ministry. He's almost like declaring his mission statement before he went on his mission. And in Matthew 28, is almost at the end of his ministry. He called, okay, let's look at verse, let me read from verse 16 to 20. You know, in Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into the Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And this is what Jesus said in verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. And many of you know this. This is the Great Commission. Let me say it again. This is the Great Commission. I often say this. This is not a great suggestion. This is not a suggestion. This is a commission by Jesus himself to us, to you and me, to everyone that call him Lord. This is the Great Commission. Let me give you a scary, scary stat. Barna Group. Barna Group is a very well-known faith-based research ministry in the U.S. Barna Group did a research recently, 2 years ago, about these words, the Great Commission. They found out that 52% of churchgoers do not know the Great Commission. Let me say it again, 52% in US churchgoers do not know the Great Commission. And maybe like 10% that the other smaller percentage of somehow know of it but do not understand. Imagine 52% churchgoers do not understand the Great Commission of Jesus. That's why one of the things I committed my life to preach the word is one of the mission for me is to preach on these words, because this is the word of Jesus, the Great Commission for his church. Amen. And Jesus say, and look at the Bible, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let's stop there for a while. Before he gave the commission to do the things, Jesus said, all authority has been given. Past tense. And the Greek word for the authority in that passage, it means all power, all resources, all empowerment has been given. You know why Jesus said this? Because one of the things I heard many often about talking about mission is that, Pastor Matt, I'm too young to be involved. I'm disqualified myself from being used by God because I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm uneducated, I'm too educated, or I do not know anything, I'm not smart, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources. That's why Jesus know already. That's why he's before he gave the commission, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given in heaven to Jesus, in heaven and on earth. And he said what? Verse 19, go, therefore, go. So I want to encourage some of you here that you might think that I'm too old, I'm too young, or many other excuses that you have. Let me suggest to you, Jesus had provided everything you need to fulfill your mission in the kingdom. Amen? God has provided everything you need. God has provided everything you need. Everything that you need to accomplish what he had called you to do. Amen? Verse 19, Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. I want us to look at the word go in the Bible. Let me give you a bit of the understanding the word go in the Greek. Do you know what it means in the Greek? It means go. It means go. Because a lot of people want to, when a lot of people, I like what Pastor Martin is saying about the Bible is like a tool. A lot of us, we study the Bible, but one thing about studying the Bible then really doing it is different. Is using the tool is what makes the difference. Amen? So the reason why I stress this is because the word go literally means action. Literally means depart. Take one step. No matter how you dissect the word of God, it still means do something. Be involved. Depart from where you are. Where you come in today, don't stay where you are. Depart. Move one step closer to his mission. And the word go is an action word. The word go is an action word. The Great Commission will only be fulfilled not by talking about it, not by thinking about it. It's by taking action. Amen? And I'm sure I wanted to just go to explain this to you, that the word compassion, the difference between compassion and sympathy. Sympathy is what you feel for a person. If for example, someone here is hurting, I feel the pain. That's sympathy. You feel what the person is going through. You feel the pain. But the beauty about the word compassion is that compassion feel the pain of the person, but compassion take action to relieve the person from that pain. Can you see the difference? So compassion is an action word. Compassion is not a feeling word. It's not a talking word. Compassion is an action word. That's why Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He fed the hungry. Amen? So the reason why I want to stress on this is that the Great Commission can be fulfilled by action, by taking action. Amen? And let's finish up baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. Can you see? It's all action. You had to baptize them. You had to teach them. And God said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And the beauty of that is, he is with you whenever you be involved with mission, whenever you be involved in the Great Commission. Amen? And I tell you, I've been traveling to different parts of nations, you know, been to some dangerous places in the world. But I cannot explain to you when you are walking in his will, in his mission, the presence of Jesus is so real. It's like he is with you when you obey him. Some, you know, many people come to me and say that, you know, I do not feel Jesus. I do not feel that God is real. How many of you have that question even? Like, I don't think God is real. And I don't think God is with us, Emmanuel. I don't think God is really with us or. But let me suggest to you, get involved with mission. And that's what I love about Pastor Martin and his heart is to see his church, you know, really get involved in the mission of Jesus. Amen? Because when you get involved with the mission of Jesus, you feel so close to him. That's why he said, he promised. The Great Commission ends with a promise. Jesus said, I am with you. I am with you. Even to the end of the age. Amen? Amen? Please turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. So this is a story that Jesus shared. Actually, it's not a story. It is a glimpse of what will happen in the end. So let us read first. Verse 31 onwards. I think it's on the screen too. Verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goat on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Let's stop here. So Jesus gave this story to tell us what will happen in the end. He gave us a glimpse. Sometimes I say this, it's like a final exam. I'm not sure how many of you are having exam, but imagine your teacher telling you, hey, this is the final exam questions. How good is that to know the final exam question from our teacher? Is that a good thing? Don't do that, but you know, it's a good thing, right? So it's like Jesus telling us the end, what will happen, what he will ask. You know, when we see him, he will ask us some questions. These are the questions he will ask us. That's why he gave us the picture. He said the context. He said that in verse 31, the Son of Man, which is Jesus, Son of Man will come in his glory with angels, sit on the throne, and the nations will be gathered before him. It's a bit like this. A bit like this church, the nations. You know, we have people from all the world. You know, from Europe, from US, and Asia, everyone will come before Jesus. And what Jesus will do, he will separate one group to the left, one group to the right, and one group to the right, to the left. And he will separate the sheep on the right and the goats to the left. And what he said to them is that Jesus said to those on his right, to the sheep, to say that when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And the question is, I want to ask us to ponder is that when we ever see Jesus hungry? How many of you here have ever seen Jesus hungry? No one. How many of us ever seen Jesus naked? No one. But Jesus said to the righteous, which is, I believe, all of us are sheep today. Amen? He said to the sheep, to us, the righteous people, Jesus will say, if you deal it, in verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That means whenever we feed the poor in the name of Jesus, we are feeding Jesus. Whenever we clothe the naked in the name of Jesus, we are clothing Jesus. Whenever we visit someone that are sick in the name of Jesus, we are doing it unto him. The motivation of us being involved to help the poor, to help the sick, the oppressed, is that we are ministering to Jesus himself. One of the things that keeps me up in the morning, whenever I wake up in the morning, my thought is going, how can I find ways to minister to you, Jesus? How can we find ways to minister to him? Because Jesus said, when we did it to the least of these, that means that the most unimportant person, maybe a child, you know, sometimes we like to see the important person in the front. But Jesus is saying that if you did it to the most unimportant person, in the name of Jesus, we do it unto him. Amen? Amen? So I believe today that we are the sheep of God. We are the righteous people that when we see him, we want to hear the words from Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. One of the things I want to encourage the young people here in this church, you know, I'm very young. I'm still a young people, you know. Hope so, but I might look young, but I'm still young. But I want to encourage young people here is to live your life with the end in mind. Live your life with the end in mind. And maybe some of you are older than me, way more older. And same thing, we want to live our life with the end in mind. Because when we, you know what, one of my greatest desires is when we see him, when I see him, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I pray this is all our prayer, that we will hear the words of Jesus saying, well done. You did it to the least of these. You did it unto me. Amen. I have a second video to show. I hope that it will work. Just start to prepare for that. You see, compassion, I just want to go into a bit of actually, the first video is giving you a bit of the overview of what compassion is doing. Compassion is a kingdom ministry that is Christ-centered, church-based, child-focused. Compassion has been started in 1952, has been 72 years. Our one main mission is to release children from extreme poverty in Jesus' name. We call the 3C, which is Christ-centered, church-based, and child-focused. Because everything we do must have the gospel, the Christ-centered element. Why church-based? That means that we work only through local churches. I'm not sure you're aware. The biggest charity in Australia, the top five, or I would say top 10 charity in Australia, Compassion is the only one that do not work with government at all, because we want to focus on the gospel part of the ministry. Compassion, still today, we are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus, because we want to give. We want to meet the physical need of the children, but we also want to meet the spiritual need, the eternal need of the children that we serve. So that's the third C is child focus. that we focus on children because children are the most vulnerable in the places of extreme poverty. As we speak today, I want to give you this number. I want to give you this figure that for us to be aware of. As we speak today, right now, there are 360 million children living in extreme poverty. Let me say it again, 360 million children living in extreme poverty. What is extreme poverty? Some of you might ask. World Bank defines extreme poverty as if a person lives under $1.90 a day. And there are 360 million children living in that line, below that line. And because of COVID, they estimated about 70 million people moved back into extreme poverty. So the needs are greater now. The reason I want to share with you this number is that God looked down from heaven. His heart is broken because of seeing these children that are living in extreme poverty. Let me tell you, no one in Australia lives under $2 a day. No one. Do you know, I'm not sure you guys are aware of that. Do you know what is the line that you consider poor, extreme poverty or poor in Australia? In Australia, if you live under $60 a day, 60, you are considered poor in Australia. But there are 360 million children living under $2 a day. The reason why I want to share with you this number is so that you are aware that God's heart is broken because of the need, the children, they are suffering in the nations. But the good news is that Compassion work with local churches together to see that number go down in Jesus' name. So Compassion, right now, we have 2.1 million children in our program. We are working with 8,500 churches here and also the nations. And the heart of Compassion is to connect the churches here to partner with the churches in the third world nation to release children from extreme poverty. So Grace West Bible Church is partnering with Compassion in the Philippines to release children from extreme poverty in Jesus' name. And all the children sponsored will be from the same region in the Philippines. The good thing about that is that the children that sponsor today, the next few weeks, are from the same area. So that in the future, we can organize mission trip together to visit the children and the families and even to visit the pastors and the churches on the ground. You know, before COVID, I would take many mission trips with churches to the nations. But one thing I'm really praying, hopefully, I don't know when is the next one, probably in 2 years, that we can actually go together in a mission trip. So when you sponsor children, actually you provide them with the basic need of life. So when you sponsor children, you give them basic need of life like water, clean water, food to eat, clothing to wear, and a chance to go to school. Not only that, but every children sponsor will hear the gospel. And not only that, but they will be discipled by the local churches in the Philippines and learn the Bible. Because every child sponsored, average about 4 family members come to know Jesus. So it's not just the child that you are impacting. When you sponsor a child, you are impacting the child and the family and the church and the community. So we have seen in our program, whenever a child got sponsored, the family also got saved. Amen? So it's a ripple effect of the salvation and the discipleship. And not only that, but when you sponsor a child, when you sponsor a child, you can build relationship with the children. You can write letters to them. You can teach them the scripture. You can write scripture and write prayers to them, to the children. I often do this in churches, is that, you know, the Great Commission for us to make disciples of the nations. So now we can't go, literally go. We can't physically go to the nations. But you know what? Our letters, our prayers can go. So even right now, when you sponsor a child, you can make disciples of that child through your letter writing. At home, you can write scripture, you can pray for them. And it is, to sponsor a child, it costs us $48 a month, which is about $1.60 a day to sponsor a child. It's less than a cup of coffee a day to sponsor a child. And it is tax deductible. You can sponsor a child or even sponsor multiple children as a family or as a business. And I want to show you this video, which is actually is a unique story. I'm not sure, is the video working with the unique story from the Philippines? Not working? The sound? No, okay, all good. No problem. We praise God for the technology. All right, so in that, you've seen a bit of the story, how, so this is a story from the Philippines. Eunice was sponsored, and she began to receive letters from the sponsor. And she was saying that in the story, I think it's all right, just, yeah. It's okay, I think just leave it for now. Yeah, thank you. So Eunice was saying in the video that she was sponsored by a sponsor from Australia, and she began to receive the letters. And I've been to Philippines myself, and I've seen the work of compassion firsthand. Many of the children, the letters they receive from you is like a God-sent letters for them. They never in their world of extreme poverty, no one in the world around them will tell them you are loved. No one will tell them you are useful. Because in extreme poverty, everything seems hopeless. That's why our tagline here is a relationship more powerful than poverty. So when you sponsor a child, you not just sponsor them, release them from giving them the basic need of life, but you actually making disciples. You are building a relationship that change a life in the Philippines. So for those who are watching online, you know, there will be, I just want to explain that, sorry, that's before that. So I want to read to you from Matthew 9:36, if you have your Bible, just this. Matthew 9:36. You see, Jesus say here in Matthew 9:35 and 36, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching them in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. As I'm going to finish up here, I want to remind us that Jesus, he not just say he's going to do it, but he went about everywhere to preach, to bring the good news, to heal the sick. And verse 36, he said that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them. And he feed the poor, he preached the gospel, he taught them, he fed them. So today, let God lead you to, let God speak to you today. How many children you can sponsor today? There are many ways to sponsor children. You might be, and one of the things that people do often is like, oh, Matt, Pastor Matt, I have a few children, a few kids that I want them to disciple the children. And then we have families that have three children, that three will take on one child to build that relationship. You might say, Matt, I want to sponsor children under my business. And we have a business that, just one example, that it's a truck business. So he is a businessman. He said, Matt, I have 10 trucks in my company. And I want to sponsor 10 children and name the truck after the kids. And whenever God bless him more and more trucks, he said, I will keep on sponsoring children when God blesses me more. And there are many ways. Just these are the few examples. And let God lead you to that. You might do it on your own. You might do it as a family. You might do it as a business. You might do it as a cell group or a Bible study, or even might do it as a church. Amen. So right now, there are child profiles, which is your sin, around you. If you're in the overflow room, there are a few there. These are child profiles that represent a child in the Philippines. So if you open up a child profile, you will see some detail about the child, where they live, how they live, what is the family arrangement. And this child profile is a child. It's not just a number. So the best way to sponsor these children is to scan the QR code at the back. So you will scan a QR code at the back, they will lead to a form. That's the best way to sponsor the children. And if you are not familiar with QR code, please bring the child profile to us to come and see me and Leanne at the table. We will help you to process the sponsorship. And if you're online watching, yes, there's a QR code, yes. If you're online watching, actually there will be a link right now on the Facebook comment. I think I just did the Facebook comment. You can click on that link. On that link, there are 5 Filipino children in that link. You can click on the link and it will lead you to a digital page that you can sponsor these children online. And if you have any issue, just come and approach the church. So this profile will be with the church for the next 4 weeks. These are the children reserved for Grace West for the next 4 weeks. That means that no one in the world can sponsor them. And my prayer is that all these children will receive their miracle. And some of you have seen that there's a red bar on the child profile. It's to show you how many days they have been waiting for a sponsor. So if you have any other special requests, please come and chat with us at the morning tea. If you have any special requests, you might say, "Matt, I want this particular age," or whatever it is, other requests that God leading you today, come and speak to us at the table. So before we finish today, how about let's pray for these children? So if you have one of these with you, just grab it. Let's pray for that child in your hand. So grab the child profile. Let's pray for these children. You know, you can see the name. So let's pray for, let's hold the profile, and we're going to pray for these children and the churches in the Philippines together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you're reminding us that you called us to bring good news to the poor. And you have called us to make disciples of all the nations. And you say, when we did it to the least of these, we did it to you. So today, right now, Lord, it's your mission to see none to be perished, but all to come to repentance. So I pray, Lord, thank you for this partnership. Thank you for this church that's partnering with Compassion in the Philippines to see more children released from extreme poverty, in Jesus' name. And I pray for these children in our hands today, in this church today, Lord, I pray that they will receive your love today. They will hear good news from you today. Lord, that we will be a blessing to the nations. Lord, I pray that, Lord, when we sponsor them, we not just sponsor them because it's a good idea, but it's God's idea. It's your heart for the poor. So I thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the churches in the Philippines. I pray for the pastors and the ministry staff on the ground feeding the poor, that we want to come alongside and to say to them, God, that we can partner with the churches to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, in this season, that we will not forget the Great Commission. The Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you that we can do this together to see many, many other, many, many children come to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to be discipled by the gospel. So we praise you. Lord, I pray even you, thank you for today that we can come together. I pray you bless each one of us here, Lord, each of the members here in Grace West Bible Church, that we will rise up in this season to pursue you to pursue your mission. Lord, I pray, thank you for reminding us about God's heart for the poor. That, Lord, we want to carry your heart everywhere we go. Everything we do, everything we say. So I thank you and we praise you. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen.